Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane Trinad the Pisuniche na Taror Ivasahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sada Hari Haryanama 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 Eva Kivalam Kalao Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is part one of the Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita written by Srila Sanatan Goswami. This is the final portion of the first chapter entitled Purna, the Complete Perfection. Sri Parikshit said, Dear Uttara, my mother, as the sound of Krishna lamenting with his family members filled the universe, a series of terrible omens quickly ensued. Because four-headed Brahma could find no one else to explain the cause of these omens, he came to see for himself. Accompanied by all the Vedas, Puranas, his own personal attendants, and various demigods, Lord Brahma found his own father and spiritual master, the original Narayan, in an unprecedented state, distressed by love for his beloved devotees. Seeing the Lord thus boldly revealing his true greatness, which is normally hidden, Lord Brahma was astonished. For a moment, he too lost his gravity and began to cry. With difficulty, Lord Brahma brought himself under control and started thinking of how to restore his Lord to normal. Soon, an idea came into his heart. Crying at the Lord's side was Garuda, the son of Vinata. Garuda's attention was hard to get, but after calling to him loudly for some time, Brahma succeeded. Brahma then spoke. There is another Sri Vrindavan here, situated between Raivata Hill and the sea. And Nanda, Yashoda, and others are present within it in replica images with similar herds of cows. That Vrindavan, constructed by Vishvakarma, appears just like the Vrindavan of Mathura. Mystically, it was brought here to Dwaraka. So, carefully take Krishna and his brother in their present state and gently carry them there. But only Rohini should go with them, no one else. Then Sri Parikshit said to his mother, Thus Brahma, with some effort, brought Garuda back to senses, and that most expert servant, Garuda, very slowly placed the two lords on his back. Advised by Lord Brahma, everyone else went back home. Meanwhile, as Krishna and Balaram were busy being carried by Garuda, Balaram more or less regained consciousness. Upon arriving at Navabrindavan, Garuda and Balaram gently placed Krishna on a bed. The gopas and gopis of Navabrindavan stood around him. They were as if they were Krishna's real cowherder men and women. Uddhava then came there with Devaki, who dearly loved her son. And along with Uddhava was Rukmini, Satyabhama, and other queens, and Padmavati as well. They simply couldn't leave Krishna in such a state. So at Brahma's request, they hid themselves and took up positions some distance away. Narada, however, thinking he had committed an offense, did not accompany them. Instead, with great curiosity, he hid himself in the midst of the sky, fixing himself in a yoga-sitting posture. He was there just to observe the sweetness of the Lord's acts. Garuda positioned himself even higher in the sky, invisibly following his master in order to provide shade with his wings. After a few minutes, Krishna's brother came back to almost normal full consciousness. That best of discerning thinkers correctly understood the entire situation. Balaram quickly cleaned up. He washed his own lotus face and that of his younger brother Krishna as well. Then Balaram gently placed a flute in the waist of Krishna's dhoti, a buffalo horn and stick in Krishna's hands, a garland of kadamba flowers around his neck, a peacock feather ornament on his head, and newly fashioned rings of gunja berries on his ears. Thus, having arranged a forest outfit for Krishna with items made by Vishwakarma, Balaram, with some effort, lifted Krishna and then spoke to him loudly. Shri Krishna, Krishna, my dear brother, get up, get up. Wake up from your sleep. Just see, it is now getting late. The cows are already entering the forest. Sri Dama and your other friends are here just waiting for you. And your parents are so filled with love that they cannot even speak to you. See here, these gopis are watching your lotus face and they are laughing at you. And they whisper something in one another's ears. Sri Parikshit then said to his mother, in this way, Balaram filled the scene with talk. He called Krishna by his various names, caressed him, and dragged him around in his arms, until Krishna finally got up and came back to some sort of consciousness. Krishna uttered the words, Shiva, Shiva, and suddenly stood up with a look of surprise on his face. Krishna opened his lotus eyes, smiled, and quickly looked around. Seeing his father Nanda in front of him, he felt embarrassed and bowed down to him. Krishna then saw Mother Yashoda also standing nearby. Her eyes opened wide and unblinking, as if it were pasted onto her face. Laughing in joy, he lovingly spoke. Dear Mother, this morning during my sleep, I saw many amazing things within a short moment, as if I were awake. I saw that I had gone from here to Madhupuri. There I saw wicked men like Kamsa slain, kings like Jarasandha vanquished, and the demigods were satisfied. A great city called Dwaraka was built on the shore of the ocean, and so many other things happened. But now there isn't time enough to tell you about all of them. This is because this long dream distracted me, that I didn't get out of bed on time like every other day. Dear respected brother, if you don't think this wonderful matter impossible, then I will explain it to you in detail when we go to the forest. Sri Parikshit said. After speaking in this way, Krishna offered his mother Yashoda proper respects. Then the very expert Rohini sensed that Krishna wanted some food to take with him to the forest. Sri Rohini then said, Dear child, your mother has no other son but you. She was so worried today by your extra sleeping that now she feels somewhat ill. So I think we have talked enough. The cows and the boys tending them have already gone ahead. You should quickly follow them. I will prepare some nice refreshments for you, and I will send them to you in the forest. Parikshit then said, Krishna offered his respects to Rohini, who had spoken to him with such love. Then, with a smile on his face, like a thief, he stealthily took from Mother Yashoda's hand the butter she was holding. He then left to join his older brother, calling him by name. Balaram! Generous Krishna did not eat this butter before reaching the cows. In expertly pleasing words, Krishna then asked his two mothers to make lunch for him. Then he set off. And on the way, Krishna had met some of the gopis and enjoyed some joking talks. As Krishna continued walking, playing his flute to keep the cows from wandering off, Krishna then came upon Sri Radhika, and she was with her girlfriends. And Krishna spoke to her with witty comments and charming smiles. Sri Nanda Nandana then said, O mistress of my soul, why don't you speak to me? I am your devotee. You have now met me in a secret place. Why are you not speaking to me? What are you so busy with, my proud lady? How did I offend you? O omniscient one, O Radha, you must know everything that happened today in my dream. I left you and went elsewhere. In that distant place, I married many princesses who had prepared to end their lives. I then fathered sons, grandsons, and great-grandsons. Anyway, right now I have to go to the forest. But tonight at dusk, O bestower of satisfaction, you will enjoy with me. Sri Parikshit then continued speaking to his mother Uttara. Having said this, Krishna threw a handful of flowers at Srimati Radharani. He looked all around and then embraced and kissed her. He then went ahead to meet the cows and cowherder boys. As Devaki saw for the first time how wonderfully and all-attractive Krishna was, dressed for Vraja, and how he was playing his flute, milk started flowing from her breasts out of great love. And this was even though she was no longer young. Rukmini, Jambavati, and other queens, bewildered by an intensity of love that they had never felt before, all lost their composure. They fainted and fell to the ground. Even old Padmavati became intoxicated. But, driven by lust, she was as well as Satyabhama, and they both acted out, embracing and kissing Krishna again and again. And then they ran after him, arms extended, trying to catch up to him. Kalindi, the daughter of the sun god, had seen Krishna like this once before. So being very intelligent, she somehow calmed her own self down. She and Uddhava grabbed Satyabhama and Padmavati and dragged them back. Meanwhile, Lord Govinda went ahead, tending his cows. When he saw the ocean before him, he thought it was the Yamuna. And so with delight, he called his friends to come and play in the river. My dear friends, where have you gone? Oh, Sri Dama, Subal, Arjun, please quickly come here. We can let our cows drink water from this river Yamuna, and we can play as much as we want. We can swim in her gently flowing, clear, cool water. Sri Parikshit continued. Thus Lord Achyuta went on further with the cows and came near the sea. There were mighty roaring waves coming one after another. When Krishna looked around the seacoast, it was then that he noticed his own great city visible in the distance. Krishna was surprised. He exclaimed, "What is this? Where am I? Who am I?" Astonished, he spoke these words again and again. As he gazed at the vast ocean and the city, Lord Balaram then told him something. "Oh, my master, Lord of Vaikuntha, please consider who you are. You were asked by the demigods to descend in order to remove the burden of the earth. Now please destroy the wicked and protect everyone else. Your cousin Dharmaraj, King Yudhishthir, has undertaken a sacrifice. Please see to getting it performed. You have established Yudhishthir as emperor, but he is intimidated by Shalva's younger brother and by other exceedingly powerful villains. Please, therefore, go to Yudhishthir and with the help of the Yadus, try to kill his enemies, because they are persecuting your very own devotees. They are doing this out of hatred for you." Sri Parikshit then said, "Balaram spoke these words in order to change his younger brother's ecstatic mood and bring him back to normal. Indeed, upon hearing what Balaram said, Krishna did change his mood. The personality of Godhead grew angry and then said, "Brother, who are those useless creatures, Shalva's younger brother and those just like him? I will go by myself and kill them at once. Trust these words of mine as being true. They give me firm promise." In this way, the circumstances of the moment made Lord Krishna forget his confusion. Looking around, Krishna remembered that he was the master of Sri Dwaraka and the divine king of the Yadavas. He remembered he had been sleeping inside the palace. But then he saw that he had the flute in his hand, and himself and his older brother were dressed like forest dwellers. Krishna perceived that he had gone out of the city to tend cows, so this filled him with surprise and doubt. He laughed as he pondered it. His brother Balaram understood what Krishna was thinking. Smiling, Balaram explained that this was all the arrangement of Lord Brahma, and Balaram told Krishna the reasons why it had to be done. Krishna then looked at his brother's face and smiled as if embarrassed. And since Krishna's body was covered with dust, Balaram wiped him clean and bathed him in the sea. Just at that moment, Garuda arrived, because he understood the Lord's moods perfectly well. Krishna mounted Garuda and returned unseen to his Dwaraka palace. The all-knowing Uddhava then informed Devaki, Rukmini, and the others what was happening. Uddhava brought all the queens back to the palace to Lord Krishna's side. Mother Devaki greeted her son with blessings. Well aware of what time it was, she quickly went to prepare his meal. The beloved queens of the Lord stayed hidden behind objects such as columns, not approaching him. But Satyabhama had not come there with the others, so Krishna asked about her from Uddhava. When you took your glorious excursion to Vrindavan, which is embraced by Raivata Hill, your special mood might have been bewildered and might have bewildered the unintelligent, but your queens were able to perceive it. Therefore, they hid themselves, watching from a distance. Then the spiteful, weak-minded Padmavati address the queens. O Devaki, O you devoid of pious credits, O unfortunate Rukmini, wretched Satyabhama, Jambavati, and all you other miserable women, look here. From now on, you should give up your pride and undergo the greatest penances. You should try to become servants of those Abhira nomad women. Uddhava then told Krishna, the wise Devaki shelters you, and it is you who shelters the entire world. But when she heard those wicked words from Padmavati, Devaki said, foolish woman, what is unusual here? Sri Vasudeva and I, in our previous lives, underwent austerities to get the Lord as our son, and therefore the Lord, the bestower of all boons, accepted that role. But Nanda and Yashoda prayed to Lord Brahma for pure devotion. By the blessings of that foremost devotee of the Lord, Nanda and Yashoda, along with their whole household, became greater than us. Because of their exceptional love, they were allowed to raise the Lord as their child and cherish His many wonderful activities. Therefore, His special attitude toward them is quite fitting, and it is very much pleasing to me. Uddhava continued speaking. Then Sri Rukmini Devi brightly spoke. By hearing her words, all the devotees increased in love for Krishna. Those women of Vrindavan gave up everything, their husbands, sons, and everything else they had, disregarding their own fortune in this world, what to speak of the next. They endured distress. They worshiped the Lord in their own way, enchanting Him in the rasa dance and other pastimes. We can hope to achieve that Supreme Personality of Godhead only by following many rigorous spiritual practices. And we can meditate upon Him only by strictly training the attention of our hearts. While those gopis, they cherished such exceptional love for Him, and so they easily attained the success of the most advanced stages of meditation. It is quite befitting, therefore, that Krishna loves them more than He loves us. Why? Because we are obsessed with our religious duties, social obligations, children, grandchildren, homes, household affairs, and so on. We are but His maidservants, worshiping Him with reverence, like ordinary fallen conditioned souls. We married wives should not envy His exceptional love for the gopis. Rather, we should always glorify that love. It only proves how very subservient He becomes to His beloved devotees. Uddhava then said, all the other queens agreed. Only Satyabhama, Satrajati, unable to tolerate these words, entered her chamber out of anger. Sri Parikshit then said, the blessed Lord of the life of the gopis then ordered in an angry voice, bring here at once that daughter of the foolish king, Satyabhama. Satyabhama, most expert in the arts of amorous love, was always ready to skillfully serve her husband. She served in the mood of jealous pride. And knowing him to be fully conversant with the skills of love and eager to enjoy with the cowherd women. So upon hearing this order from her maidservants, the intelligent Satyabhama got up, bathed, and quickly came before Krishna. But she hid herself behind a pillar and stood there. She was filled with shame and fear. Krishna noticed her and, still angry, spoke to her in a clear voice. O weak-minded Satrajati, just as you grew angry when Rukmini obtained special favors like the Parijata flower, now you are angry at my intense love for the people of Raja. Silly woman, Don't you know that I am ruled by their desires? If the people of Vraja thought it good that I renounce everything, I promise you that in a moment I would do just that. The praise offered by the venerable Lord Brahma was not spoken in vain. I can never fully repay these devotees, and so I am utterly indebted to them. But even if for their pleasure I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that would help either. Why, just by seeing me, they become so dazed and bewildered by ecstasies from deep within that they fail to recognize their own bodies and everything that has to do with those bodies. What to speak of the rest of the world? So their pain won't be relieved even if they see me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief. And when they cannot see me, they become so torn that the fire of separation leaves them, sometimes as though dead and sometimes as though insane. Thus they partake of the nectar of wonderful ecstasies. If they see a patch of darkness resembling my complexion, they embrace it, they kiss it, mistaking it for me. What more can I describe? Therefore, my staying with them would be equal to my absence. Realizing this, I have not returned there. Now you should hear the real reason I married you, Satyabhama, my dear proud lady. When living in Mathurapuri with the other gopis, I at first had no desire to marry. But from the mouth of a brahmana, I heard Rukmini's letter, which told of her distress and her intention to commit suicide. She would commit suicide if she could not obtain me. So I destroyed the pride of a host of wicked kings in battle. I took her hand and carried her off as all the kings watched. But the sight of Rukmini made me think back on the gopis all the more. And I was thinking the sorrow and distress this caused me. And it made me very much disturbed. Some 16,100 gopis with vows had worshipped Katyayini to obtain me. To bring my mind somewhat to peace, by seeing a likeness of those gopis, I married the same number of you queens here in Dwaraka. Ah, willful woman, try to understand. All that I relished in Vraja gave me the highest pleasure. And though the glory of those pastimes has now abandoned me, it still resides in that most worthy place. When submerged in the waves of that ocean of ecstasy, enjoying the ever-fresh charming pastimes of Vraja, I was so attracted to each of the all-enchanting residents, I never noticed the passing of the nights and days. As the simple delight of my childhood sports, I killed various eminent demons. I quickly subdued the evil Kaliya and sent him into exile. In my left hand, I held Govardhan Hill 7 days and 7 nights. I was so absorbed in that ocean of contentment that having to talk to such demigods as Brahma and watch them offer me prayers and homage seemed like a painful disturbance. I forgot the work I had to do for the demigods. My beautiful form, my dress, and the nectarian sound of my flute, never before heard, enchanted the whole universe with overwhelming love of God. So what to speak of how these affected the residents of Raja? Brahma, Rudra, Indra, Chandra, the Siddhas, and other demigods moving in the sky were overcome by changes aroused in them. By the current of ecstatic love, so too were the cows, bulls, calves. The trees, birds, bushes, creepers, and grass were also overwhelmed. The rivers were overcome, and the clouds, and all other beings, both moving and non-moving, alive and inert, each of them underwent a transformation. This transformation, by which their own nature changed into a nature just the opposite. Why, you can ask Kalindi whether or not this is all true. She witnessed the blissful pastimes, which were freely enjoyed by the people of Raja. But I cannot arouse the same emotions now in my relatives, the Yadavas, neither with joking nor with entertaining pastimes. Here in Dwaraka, I have found it difficult to break the jealous pride of queens just like you. Embarrassed, I have therefore put aside my dear flute. Alas, what did and how I lived in Vraja seem here so far away? Now with you, I cannot even speak of those things. Just one person, almost as dear to me as the devotees of Vraja, he will be able to describe those topics. That person, his name, Shukadev, the son of Badarayana Vyas. By the power of his great love in the mood of the Vrajavasis, Shukadev will speak something of those matters. He will speak to his excellent disciple, Parikshit. Parikshit resembles him in spiritual qualities, and I once brought him back to life. Sri Parikshit then said, as the Supreme Lord continued praising the splendor of the good fortune of Raja, the expert counselor Uddhava gave and grew anxious. He was anxious for the special ecstasies of Raja, that they might again draw the Lord into a trance. So with a gesture, he prompted all the ladies to do something. So Satyabhama, Rukmini, and all the other queens at once surrounded their husband, touching his feet with their heads. By offering prayers with plaintive voices, wet with sobs, they gradually calmed him down. Uddhava also urged Devaki and Rohini to come in quickly with the food and drink for Krishna's meal. The expert Uddhava then had Baladev come in after finishing his bath. Uddhava then informed Lord Krishna that Narada was standing at the doorway. Krishna is the all-knowing seer of everyone's heart. But he asked with a smile, "Why is Narada being kept standing there? Why doesn't he come in as usual?" Uddhava then smiled and answered, "My lord, Narada is afraid and embarrassed." Then the Lord, who always favors the Brahmanas, himself brought Narada inside and spoke to him. "Narada, my dearest friend, you are always eager to please me, and you are the best of those who relish transcendental emotions. You have now done me a great favor. It is true that when one is parted from those one loves, pure love makes one suffer within, as if from a blazing fire. That burning pain creates a remorse that further deepens into irrepressible sorrow. Thus, one at first seems wretched. But this anguish of separation is praised as greater than the happiness of enjoying with those one loves. Separation is so pleasing to the mind that it cannot be described. It always transforms at last into an abundance of pleasure. Only experts in tasting these moods can understand how this happens. After the pain of despair is relieved, one's heart feels fully satisfied, delighting constantly as one enjoys the great pleasure of meeting with one's beloved. One may want to feel that separation again, and may indeed feel distressed if one cannot. Thus, a person who can remind one of a beloved not present is considered the most sincere and helpful friend. Please, therefore, understand. One is thus given back life when somehow one is made mindful of those he or she loves. Forgetting those more dear to one's own breath is more painful than dying. Those dear as life, one can never forget. But when reminded of them in a special way, one feels happy, just like one who has lived a life of good fortune. So today you have favored me greatly, and therefore I am delighted with you. Please choose whatever benedictions you like." Sri Parikshit said. Narada began singing Krishna's glories. Playing on his veena, he was shouting, "Jai! Jai!" He thus praised Lord Krishna, who was known as the best giver of benedictions. He sang songs filled with the names arising from Krishna's pastimes in Braja. All the way from Dashashvamedha Tirtha in Prayag, all the way to Dwaraka, Narada had wandered. And he had spoken with so many devotees, the Brahmana at Prayag, and so many others, who, by the Lord's divine grace, they had each achieved perfection, each feeling great pleasure. Narada, the king of sages, now wanted to hear of this perfection. He wanted to hear it directly from Lord Krishna's own mouth. Dear Mother Uttara, Lord Krishna is the all-attractive lion among generous benefactors. Therefore, now Narada begged from him the first blessing he wished to receive. Sri Krishna Chandra, please grant that no one will ever feel that he or she has enough of your mercy, enough of your devotional service, or enough pure love for you, for you are the reservoir of ecstasy. O preceptor of all clever scholars, what kind of benediction is this? My mercy, my devotional service, and ecstatic love for me, oh, they already have this nature. Should this not be simply obvious? O sage, each of the devotees you saw and heard about in your wanderings here and there, from Prayag Tirtha to Dwaraka, every one of them is perfect in all respects. Each of them can deliver the entire world, and each has truly received my mercy. Between them, there exists only degrees of perfection. Yet none of these devotees is ever satiated. Please, therefore, ask for me some other, more satisfying benedictions. Sri Parikshit said. Narada danced in sheer joy, and like a mendicant asking for some alms, he begged from Krishna two excellent boons. Speaking to the Lord, the crest jewel of charitable persons, this is what Narada said. O Lord, never satisfied with your own charity, I have now achieved my goal. My labors have borne fruit. I now understand in a practical way who are the objects of your greatest mercy. This is the only benediction I need obtain, and for me, it is the greatest mercy. But still, O King among those who give charity, I have one long-cherished desire. O swan gliding in the lakes of the Brajavasi's love, I wish that I may wander everywhere, always chanting, always drinking the nectar of your names. Those most sweet names arise from the ocean of Gokul and spread the glories of your infinitely varied dress and many ways of acting. So as I wander, behaving like a madman, may I distribute joy to everyone in all these words. Whether by speaking, thinking, hearing, or physical contact, if any person in this world comes in touch even once with these pastimes of yours and is convinced of their importance, may he or she be endowed eternally with the power to worship your feet in pure love. Feet. Your feet are resplendent with saffron dust, and that saffron dust comes from the pitcher-like breasts of the blessed gopis. Sri Parikshit said, Lord Gopinath then extended his divine lotus hand and with great respect for Narada blissfully said, So be it. The sage was suddenly plunged into a vast ocean of supreme bliss, thus delighting Lord Krishna. Narada then partook of excellent food and drink with the two lords. Devaki and Rohini supervised while Rukmini served. Uddhava suggested to Narada what was best to eat. Satyabhama fanned, and the other queens pleased Narada with various kinds of service. After the sage finished eating and washed his mouth, Lord Krishna worshipped him, anointing Narada with fragrant oils and adorning him with flower garlands and varied ornaments. Narada then took leave of Madhav, Lord Krishna, and went to Prayag. He went thinking, Let me bestow perfection on the sages who have waited so long for me to return. Thus Narada started on his journey to Prayag. Intoxicated with eagerness for pure devotion, wherever he passed, he vibrated his veena and blissfully sang the glories of Krishna Bhakti, which he had now seen with his own eyes. And when the sages of Prayag heard the whole wonderful account from the mouth of Narada, they once and for all gave up all interest in everything other than Krishna's service. They were able to grasp the essence of what it is and what its value was. Entering a mood of great and single-minded humility, those sages began worshipping the lotus feet of Sri Madan Gopal. They did this according to Narada's instructions. Parikshit then said, My dear Mother Uttara, you as well should always worship this young cowherder boy, Krishna. He is the ocean that yields the nectar of the rasa dance. That rasa dance is complete when Krishna is surrounded by the divine gopis, and they are entranced by pure love. Oh, my mother, you should cherish the desire to be a servant of these gopis. You should constantly worship Krishna in pure love, just as they did. And you should dedicate yourself to the Sankirtan of Krishna's holy names. I cannot describe with my own words even one of the glories of the gopis. I cannot describe any more than a mosquito can swallow Mount Meru. Oh, my spiritual master, you are fully absorbed in the loving moods of serving Krishna. Oh, Shukadev, you constantly glorify Krishna's names and those of Rukmini and Krishna's other beloved devotees. The gopis, they were consumed by the expansive flames of the wondrous blazing fire of love for Krishna. But if my guru chants the names of these gopis and recalls a gopi's distinguishing qualities, he too becomes touched by sparks shooting forth from the flames of this intense fire. Shukadev at once becomes greatly agitated. That is why he has to avoid pronouncing the gopis' names. If you follow my advice, my dear mother, and with pure love, take shelter of the gopis and their master, Lord Sri Krishna, then I promise that by Krishna's mercy, you will be able to understand something of the gopis' greatness. With the help of this most excellent narration about the Supreme Lord, which shows who has received the essence of the Lord's mercy, one can understand Lord Krishna for certain. Anyone who for any reason takes shelter with faith of this narration will quickly attain love for Lord Sri Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.